Okay, so we have the petitions on the agenda that was in our materials is not lined up with the agenda that's posted online. And the agenda that I'm going to go with the agenda that's posted online for the petitions, and that is the Shields River petition, and then we have the Madison River petition by Foam, and then the Madison River petition by GGC of Trout Unlimited and et al. Just because that's what was posted on the website. And with that, I see that Mr. Welch is here. Welcome. And the floor is now yours to present your petition. I'll give you 15 minutes to present, and then we'll open it up for comment. I'm hoping people can keep comment reasonably brief. I don't want to have to put a timer on just yet. And then we'll go back to commission action. So with that, Mr. Welch, I turn it to you. Your mute's still on. There we go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, and Director Williams. Good morning. My name is Jeff Welch. I am a landowner on the Shields River, directly across from the USGS streamflow gauge, which is about a mile or two from the confluence of the Shields and the Yellowstone, which is just a few miles east of Livingston. And I'd like to refer you to the letter that you should have in your packet today that's been signed by nearly 50 Shields Valley landowners who are concerned about the usage of jet boats on the Shields River. I'm not going to read this letter back to you verbatim, but I do strongly encourage you to read it and look at the photo. If you are not familiar with the Shields, it is comparable in size. I would hardly call it a river. It's more of a creek. It's comparable in size to perhaps Belt Creek near Great Falls, the East Rosebud near Red Lodge, Fish Creek near Missoula, the Ruby or the Beaverhead near Dillon. It's not a large stream. In fact, I checked the USGS gauge this morning and it's flowing at 48 CFS. So if you're having trouble picturing jet boat usage on such a small stream, then I think you can understand why we are concerned and why we're here today to ask you to put a motorized ban on the Shields River. This issue is really pretty similar, I think, to probably one you're dealing with later today on the Madison and many rivers around the state. The river use keeps going up, technology keeps advancing, and the potential for conflicts keeps rising. But our conflict on the Shields is really pretty straightforward, much less complex than some of the others. It's just an issue of safety. So I would ask you, is it safe and appropriate for there to be motorized use on a river whose summer flows are almost always less than 200 CFS, where the channel might be less than 5 feet wide in many places, while there are also frequently children swimming in the river, there are inner tubers that use the river, there's certainly plenty of irrigation equipment in the river and often livestock watering in the river. The undersigned here would suggest that no, it's not appropriate for that. In fact, it's pretty clear to me that the original 10 horsepower restriction enacted on this stream was put in place to essentially prevent motorized use in the first place. But as technology has changed, enabling jet boat travel at low flows, the rules need to be updated and a complete motorized ban should be enacted throughout the Shields. There's plenty of other places for motorized use on larger rivers, and so we encourage you to enact this ban on the Shields and keep it safe for the multitude of other uses. And that's all I have today. Thank you, and I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. I appreciate that. Before I turn it over for public comment, are there any questions or comments from the commission?
Mr. Chairman. I would have one. When we're talking motorized, is that including electric motors, like trolling motors for small boats for fishing, or are those not included in this proposal?
I don't know that we anticipated that per se. You know, I think the issue is one of speed and tight corners when you have upriver travel on a river like this. That's where I think the safety concern is. A trolling motor obviously does not really operate at a high rate of speed. I think it'd also be very difficult to do given the propeller as opposed to jet boat. So, you know, I guess we would advocate a total motorized ban, but as you study the issue, I guess we'll see.
Thank you. I just a quick follow-up. I think for safety concerns, I agree with the petitioners. I'll just throw that out. But I am also concerned for the anglers, and that's why I asked the question on the trolling motors.
Chairman Colton, enforcement, Phil Kilbreth had a little something he wanted to add to Fields when you're finished.
Thank you, Shauna. Go ahead. Let's see if there's any more questions from the commission here, and then I'll have Phil come on.
Mr. Commissioner, or Mr. Chairman, this is Patrick Byerth. Can I speak real quick? The Shields River, as Mr. Welch described, is extremely narrow and small below the Chadburn Diversion, which is, I think, about 8 miles upstream from the mouth.
And hey, excuse me, Shauna, can you mute while Commissioner Byerth talks?
I just wanted to make sure that I can.
Shauna?
I know, that's, I just texted her because I thought she was supposed to.
Hey, everyone. We need to make sure we're muted or the.
Okay, am I back on track here?
Go ahead, Commissioner Byard.
Okay, I just wanted to describe for your purposes and to agree with Commissioner or Vice Chair Stuker that the stream is small enough that it would be very difficult to navigate it with a trolling motor, an electric motor, even the most powerful ones, would have a tough time with the shallow nature of the river, especially this time of year. It's just not a great place for jet boats, and obviously they hadn't penetrated the Shields much until the technology was available for a very small craft. So I think we're bumping up against a collision between a very small stream and high technology, and I don't think it's appropriate to risk all the livestock, wildlife values, along with public safety, by allowing jet boats up the Shields.
Any further comment, discussion from the commission? Warden Hilbreth, are you available? I know you have some comments on the 10 horsepower restriction and the, you know, some of this new technology. You and I have visited about this before. I think it'd be helpful at this stage to kind of give us a refresher on that and an idea and some thoughts on what you're seeing out on the landscape.
Thank you, Commissioner Colton, members of the commission, Director Williams. For the record, I'm Phil Kilbreth. I'm the state's boating law administrator with the Enforcement Division. The Shields River currently has a 10 horsepower restriction that was enacted long ago. And the interesting thing when I heard about this petition was it seemed a little odd to me that a 10 horsepower engine could create a jet boat that was capable of traveling at high speeds. But talking to some of the local wardens, you know, it does seem like that may in fact be the case, which is really interesting to think that technology's gone that far. The issue that I sort of wanted to bring up when considering restrictions, particularly something like a horsepower restriction, is that when it comes to enforcing that, we don't have especially in a jet boat, but in general, there's not a good technique for even evaluating what a horsepower rating is. So on a commercially available watercraft that has a commercially available horsepower on it, that engine will have a horsecraft rating that comes from the manufacturer. And if there's a horsepower restriction, that's the rating we would go with as the enforcement division. But when you start getting into custom builds and different technology, it becomes very difficult to evaluate those things. So just with that in mind, a 10 horsepower or any horsepower restriction in general is a challenging thing to consider. As a general, you know, thinking about this petition, the department would recommend that the commission initiate rulemaking so that we can collect further public comment on the proposal, and come back to the commission down the road with a thought out response. And I think talking about trolling motors, you know, when you get into trolling motors, that's an electric motor. There are other electric motors out there besides trolling motors that would probably be worth considering. As you say, technology is advancing. So we'd like to hear more of what the public has to say, and therefore would recommend the commission initiate rulemaking.
Thank you, Warden Kilbreth. I appreciate that. And I got out of order a little bit there. I should have gone to you right away. But before I turn it over for comment, I want to see if there's any questions. If the commission has any questions of Warden Kilbreth.
Chairman Colton, Becky was going to comment.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Mr.
Chair Colton, I just wanted, members of the commission, this is Becky Doctor, Chief Legal Counsel. I just wanted to ask a process interjection. Usually I give a process outline before we do petition, rulemaking, considerations. And I know all of you are seasoned veterans on this type of situation, but I wondered if you would like for me to still do that. Certainly I'm prepared to do it also before the Madison River petitions. What it does is at least answer the question of the process and authority for making a decision in case there are questions from the commission on that piece. And I'm sorry I didn't interject before. I felt like I was interrupting if I did. So it's just one of those Zoom things that's really difficult to interject. So let me know what you would like. Thank you.
Becky, you must have read my mind because I was just going to ask that question. So,
yeah. Thank you for it. Thank you, and I'll because of the timing of people attending meeting, I'm going to again have Becky outline rulemaking here, and then again before we start the other petitions. And I apologize for that. When you pull this up on the materials, it just goes right to the petition, and so that's what directed me there. So Becky, please, again, if you could refresh us all, and in particular the public, how this process of rulemaking works.
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Colton, members of the commission. Becky Doctor again. The petitions for rules on the Shield, and also this will apply for the Madison River, but I will not speak to the Madison right now. I will do this once again once we are considering that on the record. One of the reasons why that's important is because it then compiles the record in one place for each agenda item. So I appreciate the opportunity to present here and there. I'll give you, like I said, a process for considering the petitions and the authority for making a decision. And then I'm obviously available for questions should you have any during the pendency of the agenda item and actually through the entire commission meeting. The right to petition the commission, which is what Mr. Welch has done here, is found in the Montana Administrative Procedures Act. It provides that an interested person may petition an agency requesting the promulgation, amendment, or repeal of a rule. And an agency includes a board or a commission, and obviously a department. So an interested person, such as Mr. Welch, is allowed to petition the commission for rules. This Shields petition, as you know, requests no motorized use for the main stem of the Shields River. And that is what you're considering. The commission authority in that same statute provides that within 60 days after the submission of a petition, the commission shall either, and it's got two options, deny the petition in writing or initiate rulemaking through the Secretary of State process, rulemaking process. I apologize if you can hear that. It's my emails coming in while I'm talking. So the process, as you've already started into here, is generally to allow the petitioner to present their views. In this case, and in the case of the Madison, the commission allows 15 minutes to do so. The public then can comment on it. The commission can ask questions that we've already done, and the public can comment on this and allow for public comment on the petition itself and allow them to present their views. Then you take a motion on the petition. Your motion will either be to deny the petition altogether or initiate rulemaking. And the for the Shields, that's a really easy task given that you just have one petition and one subject matter to talk about. The next step then is if you decide to deny the petition, the legal unit will help you write up a proposed decision for your consideration, and the reasons will be in that writing and sent to the petitioners. And that's also part of the law on petitions, that the decision has to be in writing and based on record evidence that you are collecting here and is also in the petition. If you decide to initiate rulemaking, on the other hand, I, along with our paralegal, will write up language of the rule for the petition, working with the petitioners, most likely Mr. Welch, file it with the Secretary of State, start the administrative process, and then this process for petition, the petition process ends, and the Secretary of State process starts. That process, just a refresher very quickly, is you file a notice for rulemaking, you conduct hearings, you take public comment, at the end of which there's another commission meeting and you will consider a final rule, and you should and can take into consideration the public comment that comes in, and the rule might be different based upon the public comment that you take at the end and what you vote on. And once that rulemaking petition is filed, once the rulemaking notice is filed, there are 6 months by law within which we have to get that done or it expires and we start over. And that's all, again, in Montana Administrative Procedures Act. The timeline is very similar to the Madison as well. There is a set timeline by the Secretary of State for filing rule notices. They are generally every 2 weeks. The next one we'd likely be able to hit is in the middle of September. And then 6 months after that, we file the final. That's all I have. It's very short and sweet, but if you have some questions, I'm here and I'm ready to take those now or during the process. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may ask a question of Ms. Docker.
Yes, certainly.
Becky, somewhere I read, and or maybe I dreamed it up, if we accept this petition, it goes forward as drafted. Or can we make changes in what we send out at this time, or is that only appropriate after the public comment and before we vote on the final? And particular, what I'm asking there is, there's nothing that talks about no wake or electric motors in this petition.
Chair Colton, Commissioner Stuker, I was following where you were going with that, given your earlier question. The way the statute is written is that you deny rulemaking or you deny the petition before you initiate rulemaking. If you opt to initiate rulemaking, you'd have to make it very clear on the record what you're doing if you have to deny any portions of the petition. But I would say you can here amend that rule, especially since I heard Mr. Welch at least be willing to consider some changes to it. Another option, just to make this clear, and something I have advocated for before, just to make it clean, is to deny the petition and then initiate rulemaking on your own with your own language. And that would also be something we could work with you with, Commissioner Stuker. Either way, I think we'll figure it out and make it work. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Becky, you break up an awful lot for some reason and background noise when you're talking.
That's good to know because I think I'll turn off my video. Sometimes the bandwidth helps with that. I'll turn it off and it might be easier to hear me.
Thanks.
Yeah, Becky, it just doesn't sound like your microphone's picking everything up. And so I don't know if you need to lean in a little bit on or adjust that. Okay, any further questions of Becky on process before I turn it over for public comment? Okay, seeing none. If in order to comment, If you dial star 9 to raise your hand, you'll be able to log into the meeting and you'll be recognized. And so Mr. we'll go Chairman. Ahead and start with that process. And if that fits with the rest of the commissioners.
Mr. Chairman, just clarifying.
Yes.
We don't have to have a motion before we take public comment on this process.
No, not it. Well, I would clarify with Becky, but in rulemaking, the process is different than a regulation setting.
Chair Colton, Commissioner Brower, I hope this helps for me to keep my video off. The difference is really actually in the petition process. The petition process, because we aren't considering a proposed rule or even a proposal from the department, you can take public comment on this prior to. The reason why is because, and I can describe this more with regard to the Madison River petitions, but the reason why is that you really already have a motion on the record. Your motion is to either deny it or initiate this rulemaking, and that's the reason why. Now, if Chair Stuker were to propose an amendment, I would say you would have to take public comment on that. But otherwise, because you're considering denying or initiating this, you essentially already have a motion that you're considering. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, Becky. I just want to, since we have a few of these petitions in line, just clarifying some items.
Yeah, and also, Becky, as another point of clarification, just by accepting the petition and turning it up, setting it out for rulemaking, the commission retains the authority to make adjustments to that rule in any fashion as we go forward. Is that correct?
Chair Colton, is your question based upon during the public comment and at the final commission meeting, or is it at this one here?
No, in the public comment and final commission.
Yes. And that is why I made it clear that your petition process ends when you make the decision here, and then the Secretary of State process begins during rulemaking, and you can and should take into consideration public comment, and that may mean that it changes throughout the course of the rulemaking. So yes.
Okay. So items such as electric motors and information we might learn in that process could be incorporated into the final rule.
Yes. That's correct.
Without adjusting the petition at this stage, you're going into that process.
Yes, that's right.
I'm being told that with the YouTube folks, there's about a 30-second delay for people hearing and seeing this. I think we can easily work around that, but I'm just going to let people know again that it's *9 to raise your hand, and you'll probably hear me repeating that a few more times so that it cycles through. And so as soon as we get kind of caught up, if you will, I'll take the first commenter, and then I'll ask Shauna and Katie to just kind of continue through the list of raised hands. And it's very important for members of the public, because your names won't automatically show up right away on our screens. So if you just please state your full name and where you are from before you start your comments, that'll allow us to capture that on the record. So again, I'll start taking any public comment on the Shields River petition as presented. And again, it's *9.
Chair Cole, members of the commission, we do have public comments at this point.
Okay, let's go ahead and unmute them in the line that in the queue, and we'll just go from there. And we can go ahead and take comment. There's someone in the queue who's been unmuted. Phone number ends in 842. Okay, let's go ahead to the next individual on the list, and maybe we can come back to 842. And again, members of the public that are going to comment, just be looking to see that you're unmuted, and that'll be your signal to start talking.
Okay, the person with the phone number ending in 462, can you... let us know who you are and where you're from.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. My name is Victoria Schilling. I'm in Livingston. We've lived on the Shields River for 12 years. And in most recent years, there's been an increase in the jet boat traffic. My primary concern is about safety. We have an 8 and a 10-year-old and dogs. We swim in the river most days in the summer, and we've been in the river when there have been jet boats passing through. The channel of navigability is very narrow, as Jeff already said, and there really just isn't enough room for jet boats to safely pass while we're in the river. So it's just not safe, is really what I wanted to contribute.
Thank you, Ms. Schilling. Appreciate the comment. Next comment.
Hi, this is Mike McDaniel.
Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, my name is Mike McDaniel.
We can hear you, Mr. McDaniels.
I'm a homeowner about 8 miles up the river. I'll keep it short. I just want to make pretty obvious plea on behalf of the fish in the river. When you look at the river as it is for a good portion of the summer, and in particular right now, it's flowing around 46, 47 CFS, and with the heat, I mean, it's going to be dropping to levels that are probably pushing its all-time lows this summer. And, you know, I'm just thinking about the efforts that you guys have made and other people have made to reestablish the cutthroat population, and I think it's been going really well. This is a pretty significant stress factor that I think could be very harmful to those fish. This creek, and that's really what it is right now, it just can't handle this kind of traffic. The last incident around here was a couple weeks ago with four of those jet boats coming up at the same time, and they're flat bottom. They can go up in virtually, you know, a couple inches of water. And I think they're doing some significant harm to the stream habitat. So that's it for me.
Thank you, Mr. McDaniels. Next commenter on the Shields petition.
Hi, this is Brian McKeon. I live in Bozeman. And I'm actually kind of dialed in to listen to the Madison petition, but I wanted to add some comments related to the Shields. I am a fishing outfitter and of course, an angler. We actually don't do much guided fishing on the Shields, but I'm very familiar with it more from my own recreational fishing. I'm also very familiar with the use of jet boats. We lead some hosted trips most years in Alaska where the use of jet boats is very common. I would say, first of all, I don't think the Shields is a suitable place for upstream travel with the use of jet boats or any other technology. I want to lend some comment on the use of electric motors. You know, at the moment, electric motors would be basically useless in the Shields. They have to be submerged deeper into the water. They would interact with the gravel bars. But I want to give a parallel to mountain biking and the technology revolution with what are called e-bikes, which are battery operated. At the moment, electric motors would be basically useless for upstream travel, but who knows, in 10 years, what might happen. We may have electric jets that would allow that. And if you've ever been in jet boats, up in Alaska, using them for river access, they do allow you to go in a very shallow draft, but you do need a fairly high rate of speed to get up through those riffles and current areas. And gosh, it's a pretty darn small river. So I would recommend that you just ban all motorized use, including electric. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McGeehan. Next public comment. I think we're synced up pretty well with the phone call and my voice. I don't think there's as much delay there. If I'm wrong on that, Pat, correct me, but I think we can move pretty efficiently here now. Next comment on the Shields petition from the public.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Mac Menard. I'm with the Montana Outfitters and Guides Association. Two comments, and one's a question. Would the petition be temporal in its application? And I'm not sure about that. And then secondly, drawing from experience that we've had using jet boats extensively, predominantly in the Alaskan environment, where we had a great deal of concern over the impact of spawning success, there's some significant body of science that tells us that the passage of a jet boat through spawning areas can be detrimental, and it has to do with the positive pressure that's applied as the boat passes over and then the immediate negative pressure that takes place when the jet pump comes through and is sucking up water and blowing it out the back to create the motivation. So there is a mechanical problem that can be realized in spawning habitats, which the Shields is. So I just offer that as an observation. That body of science is fairly well vetted, and lends credence to concerns for conservation as the petitioner has raised. And in addition, in closing, the notion of diverse angling opportunities across the state of Montana, the region, you know, this is one of those places where people who seek a wading experience can participate in that fishery and do so. And I would encourage the commission to consider both the conservation consequence and the value of a diverse angling opportunity in this particular river. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mac. Next commenter.
Commissioner Colton, members of the commission, it appears that's all of the hands that were raised.
Okay, thank you, Kim. And we're having a lot of feedback from you when you go live. So I don't know if you've got the meeting playing in the background on YouTube. And Mac asked a question about being temporal. I think as the petition stands, the way I read it, that this would be a year-round situation. You know, that there wouldn't be a period closure. Is that correct, Mr. Welch?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, we've accepted public comments on the petition. Any discussion from the commission or a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Fish and Wildlife Commission initiate administrative rulemaking on the petition to ban motorized use on the Shields River.
I'd second.
We have a motion and a second. We've already taken public comment, so we're not going to send it back out for comment. But before I call for the vote, I would ask if there's any discussion or other questions from the commission before the vote.
Mr. Chairman, this is Tim Aldrich. I'd like to ask the question about early season flows. You know, if the use on the river, you know, from livestock and grazing and fisher people and so forth, is there a period when the flows might be adequate to provide for safe use of that river?
Chair, Commissioner Aldrich, you know, I would suggest no. You know, certainly we have had some huge years the last few years where the flow has gotten up into, you know, 2,000 and 3,000 CFS. That is totally not the norm. This year, I believe our high flow was about 1,000. I'd have to go back and look. But at the end of the day, it's a very small river. You know, as I said, it's I'm sure you're familiar with Fish Creek in your area. I mean, that's the size of the stream. So, you know, the channel for navigable passage is going to be pretty small most times of the year. And that's why we'd suggest it be a year-round ban.
Mr. Chairman, if I might comment on that as well, I've done a bit of boat navigation myself and spent a lot of time working and playing on the Shields. At high water, it would be very dangerous to the jet boater themselves. There's low bridges and then a tremendous amount of woody debris moves at the high water time where it'd be most amenable and least likely to cause conflict. So even then, I think the Shields would be a very unsafe place to use a jet boat.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Brower.
Just clarification with Vice Chair Stuckert, was your intent all motorized vehicles, including electric, for the future reference?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Brower, it is at this time, but I would encourage people during the comments section to include remarks about electric motors if they think they should be added. And at the final, after we get the comments, we can decide as commissioners whether that should be put in the final rule.
Thank you for that. Before I call for the vote, you bring up a good issue, Tim, but I think of the ag by the ag users along the Shields, which is a lot of folks. And, you know, at a high flow, cattle moving around, different things, it seems like having a jet boat running up there just because there's 15 to 2,000 CFS is, you're not going to have the recreational users at that time, most likely, or the wade fishermen, but you're going to have your ag operators working around there at that time. And the expansion and the size of that river, I think, could really come in conflict with ag uses there. So seeing no more comment from the commission, I'll go ahead and ask for the vote. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. The next items on the agenda, are gonna take some time. So it's my suggestion that we take at least 10 minutes, and let's plan on coming back between 9:50 and 9, and getting going right before the 10 o'clock hour. And if there are any further technical issues that I need to be made aware of with regard to delays or whatnot, please just call me on my phone here. Thank you. We'll stand in recess.